Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed now? Sweet liberty.
Listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Wednesday, and it is the 16th of March in the year 2005. Last night, I found out that I have C-band satellite, and I found out that I did have ABC. I do get ABC on the free channel. And so I tuned in to the Nightline broadcast, folks. Michael Schivo was there. And I suppose that there are quite a few of you who saw it, but I think maybe there are quite a few of you also who didn't. And so what I did is I taped the audio portion of that interview, and I want you to be able to hear all of the questions that have come up. You know, here he is. I didn't do our spiritual message. Let me stop. And this is the same one. We've done this all week from Matthew 25, verses 35 through 46. Jesus said, this is an excerpt, "For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Can't even believe I did that, start in the broadcast without our beginning spiritual message. Anyway, I taped the broadcast for you, the interview, and I want you to hear it, folks. I was mentioning the questions, the fact that, he's been with another woman for 10 years and has two children, the money thing. I think this was on the news. I think a lot of people saw this. Allegedly, some businessman in California. This was an article in the San Francisco Chronicle, I believe. They even carried a picture, a photograph of the man who did this. And he allegedly offered Michael Schivo $1 million if Michael would give up guardianship and let her parents care for her. And Michael turned it down, because it isn't about money. He said, a couple of weeks ago, I got an offer of $10 million. Folks, it's BS. I just don't want you to fall for it. I cannot prove this, and I am asserting that that was a setup. They've got their actors. They can put somebody's picture in the paper and say it's some businessman in California. This was to answer that question. Why is he doing this? Well, because, you know, he stands to get the rest of the trust, da-da-da-da-da. They asked the questions not to put him in a noose, so to speak. They asked the questions to allow them to spin and the truth. And I hope I've got this queued up right. I'm going to start it right now. I did go, I did blot out the, what do you call, the commercial. Let me give this a try.
It's nearly always a private family matter. Not so in the celebrated case of Terri Schiavo. The badly brain-damaged Florida woman has become a symbol of the national argument about the right to live and die. She is scheduled to have her feeding tubes removed for the third time on Friday. But new legislation designed to prevent that is now rushing through the Florida legislature and is also before the U.S. Congress. This after her husband...
Folks, if you're hearing a funny humming noise, I want you to know that it is, from what I can gather, it is the energy coming from the television monitor, because I wasn't able to hook it up direct and take the feed right out, and I surely hope that you can hear this. This is Nightline, and it's the interview with Terri Michael Schiavo.
Michael waged a successful legal battle up to the U.S. Supreme Court against a similar Florida law called Terri's Law, passed in late 2003. Back then, Terri's father, who wants to keep his daughter alive, was our guest. Tonight we talk to Michael Schiavo. Who should have the last word in such terrible decisions? A new ABC News poll suggests that a clear majority of Americans, 65%, believe husbands and wives should have the final say in family disputes over life support. Only 25% say parents should make that decision. And when asked, would you want to be kept alive in Terri Schiavo's condition, an overwhelming number, 87%, said no. Our interview with Michael Schiavo in a moment. First, this background report from correspondent Jeffrey Kaufman.
Close your eyes and look world around her, or, as so many doctors have said, are these the involuntary responses of a woman in a permanent or persistent vegetative state with no senses, no feeling, no brain activity?
Hi, baby. How are you?
Terri Schiavo's mother, Mary Schindler, has no doubt.
She smiles, especially when I say it's mommy. And I am trying to teach her I love you. But she has a little problem with love you, but she gets the eye out.
It has been 15 years since Terri Schiavo, now age 41, collapsed and her heart stopped, depriving her brain of oxygen. Her husband, Michael, has been her legal guardian ever since. For most of that time, he has been at war with her parents, going to court for permission to remove the nutrition tube that keeps her alive. Her parents have fought him every step of the way. At least 19 times, there have been so many hearings and appeals that it's hard to keep track, the courts and independent guardians have sided with Michael Schiavo, concluding that Terri Schiavo would not have wanted to have been kept alive artificially, and there really is no hope of recovery. But Terry's parents refuse to accept the court's findings, and so do many others.
Please say it with me. Thou shalt not kill.
Terri Schiavo cannot speak, but there is no shortage of people who are speaking for her, led by anti-abortion advocates.
It's not the if, it's what the Germans did in 1939, 1940, 41, and on through the war. That's where they started.
That makes you feel better.
Perhaps no one in this country understands these...
Better.
Perhaps no one in this country understands these issues better than Kay O'Bara.
That's Kay Pumpkin.
Her daughter, Eduarda, was just 16 when she lapsed into a diabetic coma.
I love you.
Her doctor says she has been in a permanent or persistent vegetative state ever since. She is now 51.
Well, he's very sweet. He says, medically speaking, I can't see her waking up, but they've done so much with prayers, I don't know what to say.
Folks, I want you to know that the person that is being shown on this video, the woman who's been in this coma for so many years, there is a difference of night and day between this woman and Terri. The woman lays there flat on her back. She's very overweight and bloated, and her tongue is sticking out of her mouth. It's like it's swollen or something. This is what they're showing the viewers of Nightline tonight, so that they'll get that same kind of a picture of Terry in their mind and say, my God, why don't they let this woman go? I wouldn't want to live like that, would you? Anybody who says that, I hope for their sake they don't wind up in Terry's position one day, because I think they would maybe be feeling a little differently. I'm going to start the video again, or the tape. This is the Nightline interview on ABC last night with Michael Schiavo.
For 35 years, O'Bara has fed her daughter through a tube every 2 hours, refusing to disconnect it, refusing to give up hope that one day Eduarda will regain consciousness.
There's nothing in my life I would have to change.
Mrs. Caroline, with her dad.
3 years ago, Maylene Dickerson faced a similar decision when her 8-year-old daughter suffered a catastrophic stroke. For 7 months, Caroline lay in a vegetative state. Then her mother decided it was time to remove the nutrition tube that was keeping her alive.
I kept hoping that she would give me a sign that a little bit of who she was still there. But I realized that there was nothing, absolutely nothing left of who she once was.
Both mothers have followed the Terry Schiavo from their own unique perspective.
It makes no difference whatsoever to this lady, whether her parents keep her alive for another 30 years or 40 years or not. She's not feeling anything. She's not thinking anything.
Despite her devotion to her daughter's life and her devout Catholicism.
I want to remind you of the report, the excerpts of the report of Dr. William Hemisphere, an internationally world-known neurologist who did a very thorough examination on Terry. He said she feels pain. She has sensation in every area of her body. When they pressed, if they pressed too hard, she showed the look of pain. She feels. And do you see what they've done? They have this woman who pulled the plug on her little daughter after 7 months, saying, well, the woman doesn't care if they, because she feels nothing. She knows nothing. She feels no pain. She knows nothing. This is what they're doing to the controlled media, to the media mind-controlled masses, folks. This is what they're being fed.
Kay O'Bara refuses to take sides in the Schiavo. Joining us now from Dunedin, Florida, Michael Schiavo and his lawyer, George Fila. Michael, you've had very little to say outside of what's been filed in the legal brief over the last year or so. Why have you decided to come out tonight and have something to say?
Well, the reason why I've been private for the longest time ever here, I've always wanted to protect my wife's privacy. I didn't want to put her picture all over the news. I just wanted to keep her private. And today, and what's going on in the legislation, is really the reason why I'm starting to speak out, because it's outrageous.
When you're talking about the Florida legislation, I assume you're talking about the bill which passed the committee today and could be on Governor Bush's desk on Friday, the same day that Terry's feeding tubes are to be removed.
That's correct. You know, it's really incomprehensible to think that a private family matter that has gone through the judiciary system for the past 7 years, I mean, we're talking all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, and for a governor to come into this without any education on the subject and push his personal views into this. He's basically jumping right over the state court's decisions. We might as well not have any state court.
Just Michael, so we can all understand the legislation. As I understand it, this would require that before the feeding tubes could be removed from someone in a vegetative state, they would have had to have left
written instructions, or written instructions to the effect that that was okay with them. Is that correct?
That's what they're trying to pass now, yes.
And let me ask your lawyer, George Filos, how problematic is this legislation for you?
Chris, this is the second time this has happened. As everyone knows, in October 2003, the governor sent armed men to Terry's deathbed, took her to a hospital, and had surgery performed on her against her will. The Florida Supreme Court said that was
He said she had... They performed surgery on her against her will, folks. Now, listen to the way they throw in this stuff. If a thinking person hears that, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. I thought she was brain dead. Well, how could this be against her will? How would they know what her will is if she's brain dead? But did you hear what Filos said? That the governor sent armed men in, and at gunpoint took Terry out of the hospice and took her to the hospital and performed a surgery on her against her will. Now, these are the kinds of things I hope that you will hear in this thing.
Constitutional, and it also said there is absolutely nothing the Florida legislature can pass that can undo the result in Terry Schiavo's case. Yet, in response to political pressure, the legislature is poised to pass another unconstitutional bill. And not only that, it's not just Floridians' rights that are at stake, but everyone in the country. There is a bill in the United States Congress. And this bill in the United States Congress would virtually let any family member bring a federal court habeas corpus proceeding, which would tie up a case like that for years in federal courts, which would make it virtually impossible for anyone to remove artificial life support. And I want to mention, too, for everyone listening.
All right, here I am again. Did you notice what he said? That it would prohibit everyone in the country or whatever for removing artificial life support, folks. They want people in their minds to believe that withholding water and food, that the water and food is artificial life support, excuse me. In other words, the natural elements that we need to keep the physical body, food and water, they're leading people, they're planting in people's minds that it's artificial life support. Dr. Hanisfar's report said Terry swallows about 1.5 to 2 liters. I don't know what a liter is. I don't know if you do. But he said that Terry swallows about 2.5 liters of saliva a day. He said she wouldn't. At the end of his report, she doesn't need the feeding tube to stay alive. However, the hook here is that when they pull the feeding tube, it is prohibited. It is forbidden by the court to give this woman oral sustenance. A brain-dead, comatose person would never be able to take in oral sustenance, not water nor soft food, not anything. And yet they're forbidding giving Terry food and water orally. This is murder, ladies and gentlemen. It is murder of a human being. I sure hope you all can hear this tonight.
Out there, this bill filed in federal court does not pertain just to vegetative patients. It doesn't pertain just to removal of feeding tubes. It pertains to removal or refusal of any type of medical treatment.
Michael, did Terry, your wife, leave any kind of written instructions about her wishes?
She didn't leave any written instructions. She has verbally expressed her wishes to me and other people.
She had verbally expressed them in what context? projects exactly?
First of all, who allegedly Terry expressed this to was to Michael Schiavo and his brother and sister-in-law. None of her family, none of her friends ever heard her say, I would want to be not kept alive artificially. Even if she would have said it, guess what? A feeding tube is not artificial. The court, the judge, Greer, found by Michael Schiavo's statement that Terry said this one time. Now, on this interview, he's saying she said it. He's alluding to that she had said it, several times throughout their marriage. And I've never heard him say he made a promise to her, but he did on here, you'll hear it. I'll put it back on. Clear and convincing evidence. The husband who strangled her caused brain injury from lack of oxygen to the brain, according to the bone scans. And Dr. Hemisfar made the statement that the only time he had ever seen this type of injury at C4 was during asphyxiation. Asphyxiation. And a forensic expert said strangulation. Same word, same meaning, folks. So in other words, the reason that the oxygen was cut off from her brain was because of human hands. And the only hands that were there at the time this happened were Michael Schiavo's. And in case I forget to say this, I want to say it now. Eleanor, when Eleanor White was on with us, we talked about what's going to happen if they, in the face of all of the evidence that he was trying to kill her, and the reason that he's killing her now is that he doesn't want her to be able to learn to talk, because Dr. Hemisfar said that with therapy that Terry will be able to talk. He doesn't want her to be able to talk, because then she could certainly indict him, couldn't she, folks? And Eleanor and I talked about this the last time in October of 2003 that they pulled Terry's feeding tube out. People stood out front while she was dehydrating to death with candles in their hands. And we said, we hope and we pray that there will be people there who will form a human shield for Terry and go through the freaking barricade. They have barricades up, by the way, already. Barricades keeping people way far away from the hospice. And that they would break through the barricades. And I'm not talking violence. Please hear me. I'm saying a human shield. And go into that hospice. Enough people filling that place. If this is communist China, we will find out, won't we? Remember Tiananmen Square, folks? The unarmed college people who were marching, they mowed them down in the street. I do not believe yet that they are willing to go that far here in the United States of America. I do not believe they would be willing to go that far. So a human shield. Thousands of people. Forget the police. Forget the barricades. Just move them out of the way. And go and get Terry Schiavo. That's what I'm saying. And I know, I mean, just, you know, as I say it, I think, well, what does this sound like? I'm sitting here on a chair in Pennsylvania. And I'm not saying I'm going down there. There will be some of you that it will be physically not impossible, because nothing is impossible. But there will be some of you, because of possible lack of money for gas to drive or whatever, that cannot go. But anybody who can go, I don't care where you live, if you can go, you should be there. You should be there with thousands and thousands of others. You know, I thought about this, watching the siege at Waco, and the way that they had put the cameras back for a whole mile, so that nobody, not even the press, could see what was going on. And I sat there in my home in Illinois, and I thought, but you know, because I don't know why, because it was Texas, and geez, I talked to so many people on the telephone that, you know, was so irate about this. I actually believed that there would be thousands and thousands of people there. And in my mind, I thought to myself, they could just start walking like a human shield, thousands of people, and walk up to the building of the Branch Davidians and stand there and protect those people. But guess what? There weren't enough people there to do it. I wasn't there, and I'm not in Florida. So it almost feels like I don't have the right to talk about this. But the reason that I brought this up is because I got an email that gave the schedule of the vigilance on the 18th and the 19th and the 20th, and, you know, the candle vigilance. They're going to stand vigilant with Terry. They're going to stand there with candles in their hands. What is this? But what has happened? What has happened to the spirit and the soul of people in this country? I don't get it. It is a nightmare, is exactly what it is. And I have to make myself, I have to keep saying, this isn't real. This isn't really happening. It can't be happening. It can't be happening. The people, the thousands and hundreds of tens of thousands of people will stand around while in the face of all the evidence to the whole world on television, they're going to show a building where a lady is being murdered, executed, slow, tortuous, dehydration. What's happened? Sometimes I do wonder why I'm doing this broadcast. I don't know if it's making a difference. I don't know if it's making a difference. And maybe I'm not supposed to know why I'm doing it. We have to take a break here.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dough.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, I'm back with you, folks. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, I mean, this is just a personal thing that I'm sharing with you. It's times like this that I remember how comforting it was to have Chuck wrap his arms around me and just hold me until the hurt goes away. I just wanted to share that with you. I'm going to continue this tape, and I hope you're listening to it.
Through watching some TV programs, a conversation happened regarding her uncle that was very ill. People make these comments all the time. They talk about this with their loved ones every day.
Yes, they tell their loved ones, "I want to die. By your hands around my neck, by your fingers squeezing the air out of me." Yes, they do this all the time, don't they, folks?
People's feedings, tube feedings, are stopped across this country every day. If my wife wasn't the celeb, as everybody is calling her now, there would be no discussion in the legislation right now. Are they going to start pushing legislation for removing ventilators? Are they going to start?
Okay, did you hear that? Are they going to start pushing legislation to prohibit pulling ventilators? Ventilator is artificial life support, folks. Do you see how they're combining food and water with artificial life support? And they're turning it into murder. And people are falling for this. And I pray that you're not falling for this. Well, I guess you wouldn't be, or you wouldn't be listening to this broadcast, would you? Let's listen to some more.
Forcing people to take chemo against their wishes? What they're doing is they're making the decisions for us. Big Brother is going to do that. Michael, in the heated rhetoric that's...
I'm sure you heard that. Big Brother... Big Brother is going to prevent people from killing you. But do you see how they're spinning it, folks? Big Brother is going to control us. And do you see what thoughts that they're implanting in people's minds? People who don't know, people who aren't informed. And you know, that's what it is. It's being informed. And I guess maybe that's why we all do what we do, isn't it? We talk about it to people. We plant seeds. And maybe, you know, I talk to people who get so despondent because they feel that everybody they talk to, nobody hears them. We have no idea, and maybe we're not supposed to know the outcome of what we're doing. Maybe we are just doing what we are led to do, and we are doing it with all the love in our hearts. And if more people were informed and knew what was really going on here, they would be able to see when they watch the news the lies they're getting told. So maybe we just keep on doing what we're doing, yes? Shedding the light into the darkness. Jesus said that, didn't he? He said, let your light so shine before men that your good works will glorify your Father. Ye are the light of the world, he said. Ye are the light of the world. We have a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Randy in Florida.
Hi, Randy.
Today, the appeals court here denied her parents' request. They had filed an appeal. This is the court between the Greer and the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And they turned down the family's appeal today.
Well, they are bound and damned determined to do this, aren't they, Randy?
Well, that's pretty abominable.
Well, okay, that's... But the point is, we see this. Nothing else it's almost as though they're challenging us in the face of all the evidence to show us their power, Randy.
Well, you know, I watched the Nightline show last night, and, you're right on target as far as what they're trying to do, but to equate providing sustenance to as artificial means... What Michael Schiavo and his attorney failed to point out, conveniently enough, was that Florida statute prohibits that very thing.
Absolutely.
And I would turn his comment around that, well, why do we even need a court? And I said, well, the way these judges are making law, why do we even need the legislature? You know?
That's right.
The legislature is the paramount branch of government that makes the law, you know, and the courts are just supposed to apply them as well as the executive. But according to Michael Schiavo, the judges should just be a law to themselves, and everybody else should just grumble and kowtow before the courts.
That's right. Randy, we saw this in the, was it the 2000, whatever elections? You know, the Clinton...
Right, well, I was
remember how the courts held everybody's breath in their grasp? And we were all waiting to hear what the outcome of this appeal would be and that appeal would be. And it was so obvious that they were conditioning the American people to believe that if the court... says it, the court is the law. They have not only broken the law, they have redefined the law from the bench. So that's why, Randy, are you there, honey?
I'm here.
That's why I'm saying now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their brother, their sister. It's not going to happen. Excuse me, I'm going to retract that statement because I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't appear that that they're doing it. You know, the children, the Department of Children and Family Services. The court ruled that is a violation of the separation of the executive and judicial branch. Randy, and Jeb Bush, of course, we know this. He knows. They all know exactly what the law is, and I think we better quit depending on any law. Well, you know what? It's up to every individual. I mean, you know, if this happens to Terry, Randy, if people stand around and hold the damn candle in their hand while Terry is being killed, we may as well all admit that it's futile. Because there are alive people out here listening to this broadcast. There are alive people. And there are people who are aware. And I believe, and I don't know how many listen to this broadcast, but surely... there are many other broadcasters bringing this message out so that maybe people will go there and rescue Terry and say, to hell with you.
say this, you know, holding candles while someone is being murdered just doesn't cut it. Would they also do that if someone was around the corner from them getting stabbed to death or raped in an alley? Would they just stand there and hold a candle as they watched, you know, this play out?
It's
so much for America being the home of the brave. It's more like
the land of the free and the home of the brave, yes.
Like the home of the knave.
Yes. Yes, well...
You know, our guiltless wonder governor, you know, should at the very least, just have DCF take custody of her and put her into protective care, which would remedy the matter. But no, I won't hold my breath on that. You know, but the other thing is that they and much of the rest of America have lost sight of is that each branch of government is equal to the other. You know,
Justice Madison
told the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court in Marbury versus Madison that, you know, well, they can make their order, but let them enforce it. That's what Mr. Bush needs to do again.
That's right.
They
each have their function, each branch of government, and that is the separation. But see, they're making a fictional separation now, Randy.
Each branch of government can determine what's constitutional for themselves.
Well, they can determine what's constitutional, but if we get really down to bear tax, the legislature is not supposed to pass any type of legislation that is repugnant to the Constitution.
Right.
And if they do...
The primary purpose of government, as God designed it to be, was to protect innocent life and to do justice as his ministers of justice.
I think, Randy...
It's a far cry from that today.
I don't believe that God created government, honey. Man created government, and I'm not saying this to take away or detract from anything you've said, but...
Well, civil authority was ordained and established by God in Romans 13 to be his ministers of justice.
That was Paul. That was Paul, honey, who Judaized Christianity. But for us to believe that our Creator created government would have to say that this system is real, and this system is not real. And there is never any justice. There never has been any justice. When you have a government, you have tyranny, Randy. Our Creator didn't do that, honey. It's the Pharisees, those who wrote the story in the Old Testament, they wrote the plan. And the plan is being carried out because so many people believe in it. Our Creator did not create governments. Our Creator created us, and who we are, our souls, with a spiritual nature. We are spirit, Randy. We are of our Father Creator. So the whole... I didn't mean to get off on that, honey, but I just want you... I hope that you won't ever say that again, that God created government. God did not... Creator did not create government. It's all artificial, Randy. You can only have a government if there are borders around certain pieces of land, and then that land becomes a country, and then that country gets a government. And this whole world today has governments. Every little square inch of land, it's all artificial, honey. Am I making any sense to you?
Well, I'm not going to debate that on the
whole. No, not to debate, but just please do this. Don't reject what I just said. Just store it, file it, and let it be there in your mind as a possibility. Okay?
Well, back to the matter at hand. You know, like you were saying, people just need to go down there and establish a human chain around that place.
It's going to be a human shield, Randy. They're shielding Terry. And it will be a shield. It'll be a shield against police people out there who are aiming guns at their country, men and women.
Well, I can't fathom how law enforcement that is supposed to protect and serve can defend against those who would protect or rescue a woman from being starved to death, you know, while they turn their backs while it's happening.
You know, maybe this is what the Matrix is all about, Randy, because there's another almost parallel universe existing within this realm right now, and they don't think, Randy, they don't think, honey, but you know what? There are probably some of them that do. There are some of them that do. They knee-jerk react to their training like animals, Randy.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there.
Are you gone? Okay, I guess I was preaching too much, folks. I'm going to retract that statement. We have to be so aware of our words and think about the system that we believe in. And I didn't mean to get us off track tonight. This is the core of it all, though, folks. This is the core of it all. There is no government that's benign. I don't think there has ever been a government that is benign. And government was not created by our Heavenly Father. Everything that we're experiencing right now is part of an artificial system. And this is why we have to reach into our hearts, maybe focus on that inner light, and listen. Be still and know that I am God. And move and do as you are directed from within, as you are guided from within. I'm going to let you hear the rest of this. This is almost over. This is the ABC Nightline interview with Michael Schiavo from last night.
Swirling around this case and has been for a number of years now. All kinds of charges have been flying back and forth. First of all, do you stand to benefit financially in any way from your wife's death?
There is no money. I will receive not a penny.
You did receive something of a malpractice settlement north of $1 million at one point. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, no.
And what happened?
Michael Schiavo said yes when the host asked him about the settlement, the medical settlement, and he said it was something north of $1 million, and Michael Schiavo said yes, and then Philos, his lawyer, is the one who jumped in and said no, he didn't receive any money. You're going to hear him say that all of the money was spent on Terry's care. And I want you to know that as of 2003, when I, and it's on our website at sweetliberty.org in Terry's section, I think Philos, this lawyer that's saying this, has already received $600,000 of that money that they say, oh no, it was all spent on Terry's care. No, it has been spent trying, excuse me, to kill Terry. Murder Terry. That's what the money has been spent for.
I believe
Michael didn't receive those funds. Well, those funds have been used for Terry's medical care and guardianship expenses and costs and fees over many, many years. Those funds are virtually gone, and Mr. Schiavo is not going to inherit or gain one penny by the result of Terry's death.
Your wife's family and their supporters have been arguing in the most graphic terms that what you are going to allow happen on Friday, in their words, is in effect condemning your wife to a cruel death by starvation. I'd like you to address that charge from them.
That's one of their soapboxes.
Do you notice that the question or the statement within the question that the host made was that they're going to starve her to death? They're not starving her to death, folks. They're dehydrating her to death. I want you to hold on for just a minute here. Okay, here it is. This is Congressman Joe Pitts. 1 minute yesterday to the U.S. Congress. Oh, well, excuse me. This was October 21st, 2003, when they had pulled her feeding tube the first time, but he redid it, and this is just a short portion of it. He said, "Mr. Speaker, death by dehydration is a painful, agonizing, and arduous process that takes 10 to 14 days. In addition to feeling the pangs of hunger and thirst, the skin, lips, and tongue crack, the nose bleeds because of the drying of the mucous membranes, heaving and vomiting may ensue because of the drying out of the stomach lining. The victim may experience seizures." Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Jackie, this is Ann in Texas, and I have a money order which I've been laying around here, and I need to send to you. So we always want to keep reminding us that we need to send those contributions in.
Oh, Ann, you know what, honey? For some reason, your voice is so low, I wasn't even getting a reading. Would you be able...
Better now?
That's better, much better.
Oh, okay. I'm calling on an internet phone, so sometimes it's a little bit squirrely here.
Okay.
Anyway, listen, I'm calling from Texas, and I want to remind everybody to be sure and send their contributions to you. I have a money order sitting around here, and I have just been negligent to not send it out to you.
Thank you, Ann.
And the thing is that the link on your website for Terry Schiavo, it does have some really good information out there with some definite action items, a petition to sign that's very easy for people to go and do. I did send a note directly to the family. It was a little bit challenging because you can't make any corrections or backup at all, and I had to start it over about 20 times, and I'm hoping that they will call me.
The family.
I can sort of talk to them.
I'm
saying that I hope everybody would perhaps just call their congressperson. I've been looking on the website to see the status of that particular bill, and it was introduced on the 8th in the U.S. Congress, but I can't seem to see. It's supposed to be on some calendar for review, but I can't see.
Yeah, but Ann,
do you know?
Ann, can you hear me, honey?
Yes.
Well, right now, tomorrow, Friday, at 1 p.m., and they are planning to pull her feeding tube. Now, remember that back last in August of 2003, when it was still very hot in Texas, they put sweaters on her, pants on her, wrapped her in wool blankets to try to kill her faster. So forgive me, but I don't think calling your congressman right now is going to do it, honey. It isn't the federal government, Ann. It's the state government, the legislature, the governor that has the power to do this. It doesn't look like they're going to do it. So people have to do it, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I'm totally correct on that, because, here it is Wednesday, and Friday's coming up very shortly.
Oh, it's Wednesday. I keep saying, I'm thinking it's Thursday. Because
it's not that far off.
I know. Well, you know what? The point is, I don't broadcast tomorrow night. And so, therefore, this is it. This tonight is it until Monday, Ann. And I just pray. Well, I don't know why I say that, because I don't pray for stuff. I don't pray for outcomes. But I know it's the prayer of my heart that people will just go there and get her, honey.
Mm-hmm.
Just go get her.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot imagine that the police will open fire on unarmed citizens. Now, this is easy for me to say because I'm sitting in Pennsylvania, not going to Florida. But I'll tell you how it feels to me. If I were there, I would be out there with those people walking.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather be shot in the back than to sit here and let this happen, Anne.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's very, very obvious from just looking at the timeline, which I think the website, consolidates very, very well. What's sort of happening there? There's definitely conflict of interest, and, you know, where on earth, you know, Greer is coming from and talk about, you know, judicial power and separation of powers is just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, the whole thing is, Anne, thank you so much for your call, honey.
Yes.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, folks, we've got about 4 minutes left. I was reading to you Joe Pitt's statement that was redone yesterday in the U.S. Congress, and he was telling about death by dehydration, and he said that the nose bleeds because of the drying of the mucous membranes. Heaving and vomiting may ensue because of the drying out of the stomach lining. The victim may experience seizures. As the fluid level in the body goes down, the blood pressure goes down, the heart rate goes up, respiration increases as blood is shunted from the periphery to the central part of the body. Be Terry right now. Think about this. In a desperate attempt to sustain the primary organs, the hands and feet. Listen to what Michael said. What happens when you get your food and water withheld? Listen. And then I'll be back with you Monday.
They've been on for a long time. Terry will not be starved to death. Her nutrition and hydration will be taken away. This happens across this country every day. Death through removing some of the nutrition is very painless. That has been brought to the court many times. Dr. Fisherman testified that it's a very painless procedure. Terry can't. She has no cortex left. She doesn't feel pain. She doesn't feel hunger. So what's going to happen is slowly get through her potassium and her electrolytes to slow her down and sort of rip off from
her. Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
How would you like to add 20 years to your life? Dr. Earl Mandel, the world's number one...